This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9.
What has love got to do with it? Well, love's got a lot to do with it today. That was, of course, the wonderful Tina Turner on Joy 94.9. What's love got to do with it? Now, what's love got to do with gaming? That's why we're here today. We're talking about relationships and gaming and trying to find a balance.
Having healthy relationships whilst gaming, not spending too much time gaming, not being in a relationship with your game.
Can it be done? Can you be healthy in a relationship and be a healthy gamer at the same time?
I believe so. I'm in a 14, 15 month relationship at the moment, and I still game quite a lot.
Yep.
And I guess it's about finding the balance, as we've sort of touched on, but it's about, okay, I'm going to play on this night. I'm not going to play on this night. We're going to go on a date night. Like, set yourself a, you know, a date night a week, sort of thing.
Do you have that with your, you have a date night or
we
a schedule?
We don't have a date night, but I'm very ad hoc with what I'm doing in terms of when I'm playing. So, at the moment, I'm playing a little bit more, obviously, because I've been playing Final Fantasy. And when you play an MMORPG, you kind of, you know, it takes up more of your life. Previously, though, when I've played, sort of when I was playing World of Warcraft. So, Tuesday nights are always free because of server downtime.
Yep.
Which is always a good night for a
game. So, it's not your choice, actually.
It's not my choice.
Isn't that kind of dodgy, though, that your date night happens to be the night you're not allowed to play?
That's not what I'm saying. Date night was actually Friday night. Thank you very much.
Good. Just checking.
Tuesday night was just a night that was free to just as an aside.
To play other things.
Yeah, exactly. Or to spend time with your partner.
What?
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday would be raid days, so that would be, this is when I was playing World of Warcraft. Uh-huh. So I would limit myself to 2 days a week. I wasn't a 5 day, 6 day a week person.
Yep.
And you know, I have a lot of other stuff as well, so in terms of, you know, dog training and that kind of stuff, which takes up my time, but we try and do things that we can do together as well. So we both go to dog training on a weekend.
Oh.
You know, I don't play games all the time. He has his interests. Monday night I can't tear him away from the television when he's watching Honda, so that's kind of his thing.
Yep.
And I guess for us, we've struck up that balance between our nerdy things that we both enjoy and also then bringing in other things that we enjoy doing together.
Yeah. And if he's watching Quanda, you can then play 3DS and stuff as well, right?
Yeah.
You can sit and be with him but still do something
else. That's right. And I do. Or I jump on my laptop and play on laptop and that kind of stuff. And yeah, we have it so that we can be in the same room. We've managed to work it out. I think we talked about this last week, but with the Wii U, so I can be playing Final Fantasy, he can be in there playing Wii U, so he can be playing Super Mario because he's playing on the gamepad instead of on the TV.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
He has gaming interests as well in terms of he likes the Super Mario's, he likes the Sonic's, that kind of stuff. So we can play together still, and I think that's a really good
thing. Like what they say about open relationships, couples that play together stay together. Now, Teddy.
Moving on quickly from that one.
It's a joke. Teddy, you obviously, like we said before, you brought this topic up.
Yep.
You wanted to talk about it. Tell me, relationships and gaming. You've been affected by this on both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
What was worse? When you were the gaming widow, when you were the one not playing games, was that worse? Or was it actually worse when you had the realization that you actually had caused someone emotional distress by playing games too much?
Yeah, you know what? And I've got to say, it was most firmly in the second category.
Right.
When you realize that games have overtaken what you otherwise would have been doing.
Yep.
It is a pretty horrible realization. It's a pretty nasty realization to think to yourself, I didn't even notice. I didn't even see myself fall into that trap. And then you've got to dig your way out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, by the time people do notice that they're in that trap, it's because someone has walked away from them.
Yeah.
And in those situations, you don't have anyone left to help you dig out of that hole.
Yeah.
You need to do it on your own. Now, I know that in America, there are actually official support groups. Yeah, if you can believe it.
Yeah, like what? My name's Luke and I'm a gameaholic? Like, no, are we talking?
Or my name's Luke and my partner is a gameaholic.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's a group called MOGA, which is Multiplayer Online Gamers Anonymous, which is an official, like, AA-style support group for people who are addicted to gaming.
But I mean, gaming addiction is something that sort of only really people are touching on in the last couple of years. Thanks to MMOs, but probably, you know, MMOs have been what have been the catalyst, because we were talking earlier about games that are designed to make you addicted to
them.
And we talked on the MMO show a couple of weeks ago about that as well, how MMOs are designed to give you little tasks, little rewards to keep you coming back and playing more and more and more, and giving you those little sort of boosts that make you feel good about yourself. And that's kind of relating to drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing. It's the same thing.
Absolutely. In fact, it is the same thing. There is scientific evidence out there. A quick Google search for any of our listeners, you can do it while you're listening right now. Quick Google search will actually bring up that there are scientific papers which prove that gaming addiction is as strong a physical addiction as alcohol, gambling, cigarettes, things along those lines.
Yeah.
So, you know, for those of you who aren't gamers, who have a partner who is a gamer, that's sort of That's my message to you today, is you've got, you know, please understand that your partner could in fact be suffering from a physical addiction, and it could be something they need to get external help with.
So what are the signs? Like frothing from the mouth while playing Tomb Raider? Like, what are we talking about? Like, what are the things?
I think is it just sort of the signs or something, you know, like the typical signs of addiction? So concentrating and doing one thing, becoming disinterested in other aspects of your life.
Well, yeah, and also planning your entire life around that thing. Yeah. So, you know, I will go to bed at this time and be up at this time to make sure that I'm playing at this time. And I can't go out for a date next Saturday night with our friends, honey, I'm sorry, because I'm playing Warcraft that night. That kind of thing.
Mm. Aggression when interrupted from the game.
Hate being interrupted.
Irritability.
Yeah. General irritability, absolutely.
Yep.
It is basically, many of the signs are just exactly signs of addiction.
Yep.
So, and as you've said, there are groups out there nowadays as well. There's sort of rehab centers that are helping with people who have video game addiction, that kind of stuff. Mm. It's a real thing. A lot of people still think, oh, they're not addicted, they just play the video game. But it's an actual, psychological thing, which we did talk about in the MMO thing, about the fact that they're designed that way.
Exactly.
So I wanted to, as part of the topic, brush over that and just sort of get that out there and say, yes, there is in fact a physical addiction portion to it, just so we can sort of get that out of the way and then start talking about when you're not actually addicted to gaming, you're just preferring it over company with your partner.
Yes, and that is probably the main thing, because I mean, I'd like to think that there's not a lot of people that are really addicted to the level that we're talking about, and if they are, you know, I absolutely seek some sort of help. There's plenty of options out there, but if you are just in a relationship and you find that gaming is impacting that relationship in a negative way, you are on Critical Hit on Joy 94.9, a video game show by gamers for gamers, and we are joined here in the studio with Teddy, who is from the Melbourne Gamer Group, talking all about relationships and gaming. Now, Kev, we've had a lot of good responses about this topic online and stuff like that as well, on the Facebook page, Critical Hit. Now, there's one in particular that stands out. It's quite a detailed one, so we're going to sort of summarise it a bit.
Yep.
So, this is from Ben, right?
So, yeah, first of all, thank you to Ben for getting in touch with us. He's been in a relationship for, I think, 3 years with his partner. So, Ben classifies himself as a casual gamer and his partner as a casual gamer, so nowhere near as much gaming as he does. They like different kind of games, so he's tried getting him to, you know, Guild Wars 2, Skyrim, that kind of stuff, but normally he just enjoys Command & Conquer because that's his partner's, you know, his partner's thing. He also likes games in the realm of SimCity and The Sims, etc. So they have quite a different take on gaming, which is sort of the thing where you go, okay, one partner likes this, one partner likes this, but they've sort of worked that out together, I think, and they don't force each other to do anything and play things. Ben likes games that are going to engage him with puzzles, action, lore, that kind of stuff, whereas his partner sort of wants, you know, things that are happening, a couple of rounds and then I'm out. So, you know, the kind of step in, step out kind of game. It was never a prerequisite for him to date someone who had to be in gaming, but it was just nice to be able to share that with him. And at the end of it, though, they do make sure that they spend time away from games, so, and away from screens. So they're also big nerds, both of them. So his partner's also into sci-fi books, TV series, which Ben only discovered sort of 6 months into their relationship, but it wasn't just something that was, you know, it wasn't that crazy. It was fine. You know, he's into that kind of stuff. So it's geek realm. He's into that kind of thing, but they then use that to his advantage. So Ben has a lot of TV shows that he's watched now because his partner has said, hey, what about this? What about this? Let's watch this. Let's watch this. So I think the one take-home point that I really get from that is compromise. So, you know, find what your partner really loves and what do they enjoy doing. I used to watch Quanda with JB every week until I just got too bored of it. Because I'm not into politics, and it's not my thing. But I made an effort to try, and he understood that. He understood that that wasn't my thing. So
And look, I know I'm gonna challenge that a little bit, not a bad way, because, you know, and Ben's got a great point, you know, in terms of people listening to each other and trying to do different things based on what their partner's interests are. But I think that a television show is very easy to get someone into, because television for me is quite universal. Mm-hmm. Television is TV. You watch TV as a kid, you know, you grow up with television, you watch cartoons and stuff, then you eventually evolve into other shows, and then when you're an adult, it's easy to access it. You can watch all kinds of things. There's a television genre to cater to everybody based on your interests. And some of these shows he's listed out, like Falling Skies and Fringe and stuff like that, are popular across the board. So to actually get someone who's a partner to play a game that you like and they're not into that game, I think that's a completely different challenge.
I I would disagree, and I'm going to take a thing out of my own relationship.
Yep.
JB loves his TV shows. He loves Frontline and political TV shows like Hollow Men and all that kind of stuff. He tries to get me to watch them, and I gloss over, and I can't do it.
Yep.
I think it's kind of very similar. It's trying to get someone to watch something that they're not interested in is going to be the same as trying to get someone to play a game that they're not interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would have to say, you know, the challenge to Jeff to say, try and get me to sit through an entire episode of The Good Wife, and I simply won't do it. I will get up and I will go out of the room and I'll go do something else.
Well, then you're a jerk. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But no, but I mean, for me, and this is just looking at it from a basic level of time commitment as well, right? Watching an episode of The Good Wife, guaranteed 42 minutes. Guaranteed. Playing a game, getting someone to learn how to play a game they haven't played before with controls, they might not even be used to certain controllers, teach them how to play it, then saying, now that you know how to play it, keep playing it. Now let's keep playing it together. Now let's play it tomorrow night as well. Oh, by the way, there's a raid next week. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, TV shows, it's simple. It's like, watch an episode. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Oh, you don't? That's cool. We'll try another one.
But then that's
video games are different.
If it's the same as, you know, start playing a video game.
Stop banging around.
Sorry. If you like it, if you don't like it,
I disagree. I'm sorry. I think the TV shows are easy compared. I think the gaming's tough, and I think that, you know, TV shows are really simple to get someone to watch. That's all right.
We are a video game show after all.
We are.
So we had a few more things come through from the Melbourne Gamers group. So Morgan sort of said, Archer, who's been on the program before, he said, part of a healthy relationship is having separate interests, things that you can get the other person to try and learn, and then you, it's good for bonding. So there is that kind of thing as well. Stephen Kai, he said he's got a partner who's addicted to Defense of the Asians, Dota.
And is that what it stands for?
Badly. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Defense of the Asians, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Good on you.
While Stephen's then reverted back into his retro stage, so he's enjoying retro gaming. So they have, you know, they've both got different interests in gaming. So.
Now, I think, jumping in as well, I reckon it's a good point in terms of the bonding and stuff like that with the separate interests and things. And I think that it's how you pitch it to your partner as well. You know, I think just saying, I play Call of Duty, that's my thing, you shoot things, that's one way of saying, I'm a gamer, stay away, this is my thing. But I think that there are certain games, like I said with my partner Matt, hi babe, I explained to him, you know, things like, you know, I play Silent Hill because I really like the story. Here's why I like the story. It's really deep and dark and intense. It's not just your standard save the princess type experience. It really goes above and beyond that. It explores psychological things. It really interests me because of the content and how mature it is as a game. So explaining that to him, he goes, oh, that sounds really cool. But if I just said, it's a scary game where you kill monsters, he'd probably go, well, yeah, right, whatever. You know what I mean? So it's kind of to do with the pitch and why we're passionate about it in the first place and explaining that.
I must say, overwhelmingly from these responses, more than any other, the responses were along the lines of, I would prefer to date a gamer. And, you know, although I completely understand that, and I do think that, to a degree, yes, it would make things a lot easier. But I think it also highlights the need for this conversation, because love can be found outside of the gaming world. It just takes a little bit of compromise and a lot of communication.
And when you... let me ask you guys as well. So you're in relationships, both of you, and I am as well, of course. So in that relationship, how quickly did it come up that you were a gamer, Kev? Was it first date?
No, to be honest, I don't think he realised... I didn't... Okay, so when we first started dating, I wasn't really gaming as much, but sort of about 4 or 5 or 6 months in, I got back into WoW, and that's when he kind of realized the extent of how much I was a gamer. And he messaged me last week after the MMO show saying, oh, was it last week or the week before? Whenever that was.
2 weeks ago, I think it was.
Two weeks ago, and he was sort of saying, you know, am I going to be losing you to WoW again? But, aww. I mean, it was not brought up straight away. I don't think it was ever part of this, like, first date, hey, I'm a gamer, by the way, and I spend a lot of time playing games. It's just, he, you know, eventually came to learn that this was a part of who I was. So I think, yeah, that's the kind of thing I don't think we kind of sort of said. But now he knows.
What about you, Teddy?
You know, with Jeff, it was a bit of a different situation, so I can't use that as an example. But on the whole, I'm the kind of person who wears my heart on my sleeve.
Yep.
So it's kind of all out there from day one. You know, I'm a gamer, I'm Poz. know what you're buying.
Yep.
For me, it just makes it easy. It just gets rid of those awkward conversations down the line.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it really just sort of sets the stage.
Yeah, if you don't tell them on the date and they come home and there's Mario plushies on your bed, it's a bit awkward, you know? You've got to set them up for that.
I do. But I guess the thing is as well is then, because JB's over in America at the moment and he went to the Nintendo store, so he knows that he's going to buy me a whole bunch of stuff.
What did he do?
Except he did something very bad, which really
broke your heart.
He played Hyrule Warriors and he made a video of it and he put it online
and he said sorry,
tagged me in it on purpose because he knew that I would get upset that he was playing Hyrule Warriors, which I am very upset about that. But so he better have bought me a whole bunch of good stuff from the Nintendo store.
I know, and you've taken the ring off. You're not even wearing the ring anymore.
I know, it's gone.
I'm joking. No, of course, it's right there. It's shiny.
But I mean that's the thing. I think he knows, and you know, I sort of know as well. Like, if I ever walk down the street and I see something that's political or something that interests him, then I can sort of jibe him about it.
You need to, like, do something. You need to meet someone important from Q&A and take a selfie.
If I met Tony,
sorry.
Yeah, if I had a photo with Tony Jones from Quanda, he'd be, like, freaking out.
That's your mission.
Okay, that's my mission. I have to get to Sydney, unfortunately.
Yeah, now for me, I mean, I'm the same as you, Teddy. I'm pretty open with who I am and what I'm all about. So for me, I think it's really clear I'm a gamer. I mean, I'm likely to rock up on a date wearing a gaming t-shirt.
Wait,
to be
you're
honest.
A gamer?
I am. I'm likely to be really honest about that and say, here's me, I'm a big gamer and I watch wrestling, so there you go. And that's usually the two things that I get in trouble with, especially the wrestling. But, you know, luckily I found someone who sort of said, oh, that's cool, I'm not a big gamer myself, but, you know, I can watch you play and I can maybe learn a little bit. So Matt was really great Aww. With that. I know, really sweet. I've had partners in the past who were a bit older than me who outright said, no, don't play those things around me. I don't even want to see them. I had a better relationship with their niece in terms of the video games. And he might be listening. So, hi, how are you? We're friends now. We're all good. We're all good. But yeah, it happened a bit where I was playing Resident Evil with his niece, who was my age, whilst he was upstairs in the bedroom not so happy. So I mean, I've had both sides of it as well. I'm very happy to have someone who accepts that I play games, but I still try and play them when he's like at work, I'm on a day off and stuff like that, or if he's going out and I'm at home, I'll try and play more of my games around that sort of time. So it's ad hoc, I don't plan it, but I sort of think, oh, Matt's not around, I'll play some video games because he won't be annoyed.
That segues straight into healthy gaming. Really does, because it's...
Except we're going to have to save that topic for another time because it's...
We have time for a quick segue. Summarise what you're going to say.
Very quick. Yep, absolutely. If you want to make sure that your gaming is healthy inside the relationship, do it outside of the things that you already have planned together.
Right.
Do it while he's at work and you've got a day off. Do it while he's asleep and you're just sitting there and you're a little bit anxious and you can't get to sleep and you might just chuck an hour of gaming in here and there.
Yeah.
Do it outside of the two of you if you can.
Yeah. And you know, it's about communication as well. It's Absolutely. Like, hey babe, I'm actually really in the mood to play some video games. Do you mind if I have the TV for a couple of hours?
Or do what we do and have a games room and a separate room for Quanda watching.
Yeah, well, you can do that as well. Have a separate space. So you both have a space you can go, and I'm going to play games, you go watch TV, or vice versa.
We have a man cave, which is where most of the games are. The Xbox is in the lounge room as well, but then we share that TV. So we've got two different TVs and that kind of stuff as well.
And exactly. the other really healthy thing you can do is find an activity that the two of you have tried to you know, come together on, and you've just found that you simply can't, and they can be your separate activities.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to breed chickens the way that Jeff breeds chickens, so I'm just going to let him do that.
That's not a metaphor, right?
No.
Actually talking about breeding chickens.
He actually breeds chickens, yeah.
Awesome. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.